Welcome back to Microsoft Campus Tours, and this, our third and final installment of our look at Microsoft Research with Larry Larson and General Manager Kevin Schofield.
And this is a place that most people aren't going to get to see, so we're going to go on a very exclusive tour here.
We're going to get to see some really cool things. A little bit of sort of behind the scenes of how you really experiment, how you create new kinds of prototypes for different kind of interactive technologies. We're also going to go by and see our hardware prototyping lab. One of the things we want to be able to do, particularly because we do a lot of experimenting with different kinds of mobile devices and sensors and things like that, is we want to be able to actually build stuff that you can hold and try.
Yeah.
So we have a whole little small hardware fabrication room in the back here where any of our researchers can get trained up on the different kind of equipment, and they can build stuff on their own, just to their own kind of hardware shell prototypes, so they can, and their own electronics they can stick inside them if they want to try that sort of thing.
Well, let's go check it out.
All right, let's go.
I'm here with Tom Blank, and we're in one of the many candy shops within Microsoft Research. And tell us a little bit about what you do here.
So, Microsoft Research is trying to build things that haven't been built before. And so this is a prototyping shop, and we have two sides here. We have the mechanical side that you can see around here. We have numerically controlled milling machines. We have woodworking tools. We have lathes over in the corner. I'll take you in a second and show you a plastic printing machine, so that we're literally trying to build things that people have just simply dreamt up, and they want to see, well, would this actually work? And so people come in and say, hey, look, can you build something that kind of looks like this, does like this? And our key to success is how quickly can we build something, and how quickly can we change it once they figure out what they want, something actually different than what they asked for.
And how quickly can you do that?
It all depends on what they're asking for.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about machining metal, that can take, you know, a day or two or three or 4 days.
Yeah.
There are some things that if they want something bigger than what we can build in the shop, we have to send it out to other shops. Mostly people want little stuff, and little stuff we can many times turn around in a day or two or three, depending on how complicated and big. I mean, if they ask for a clock, that takes longer.
Yeah.
So this is a numerically controlled milling machine. And so, for example, this can take a block of aluminum, and it can actually then drill and then make the beautiful holes and so forth in this thing. For this would be a part that would go into a bigger device or gadget, for example, for a camera mount or something, where people wanted to figure out if they could take a 10,000 pictures, for example, and build a super, super high resolution scene of an image, for example. So what we're looking at right now is a plastic 3D printer. Literally what we can do is that we can specify a part like a crescent wrench like this, and this machine can actually print it without any assembly at all. So, for example, this machine literally can build wrenches. It can build boxes that go together. And so, literally, many times we'll build an electronic gadget and they want to put it on their arm, or they want to put it around their neck. And so we need to basically build little boxes and containers of things for the specialized piece of equipment. For example, in one example, some people actually wanted something that would go on a wristwatch. Size form factor, so a bit of electronics went into this little piece here. The top pops on, then there was a wristwatch band, and there are actually buttons that you could push here. So we were able to custom design out of plastic and fabricate it right here virtually immediately. And so, for example, to print this little part here, the wrench, for example, that I showed you, the crescent wrench, took about 3.5 hours to print. And it's out of very, very durable plastic. That you can actually mechanically use. You can drill it, you can tap it, and use it again for all sorts of variety of projects. We're limited by our imagination and our ability to actually design these parts in a three-dimensional space. What happens if you look at this, you'll see that there's a white material and an ivory material
Yeah.
here. The white material is called sacrificial material. And so to make the parts move, there was actually sacrificial material between the moving pieces.
Mm, yeah.
And so you then peel away the sacrificial material where you can,
yeah.
and in the places where you can't, you actually then put it into a bath of a chemical bath, and
yeah.
it dissolves that stuff away. So
awesome.
It didn't come out looking like this. It had
yeah.
This white
yeah.
stuff around
yeah.
it. But after you peel some of the stuff away and dissolve it away, it then turned into this.
Nice.
People will laugh, but for example, my very first project, I was learning how to use 3D modeling. I built a top. It's actually a very good top because it's very, very well balanced, in that it spins very, very nicely.
So close to me,
a little top is just nicely balanced. So what we have here is probably the most widely used machine in our lab, because not only do I and some of my colleagues use it, but many of the researchers come down. This is basically a laser cutter. And so there's a high-powered 75-watt laser in here, and you can put in paper, cardboard, and you can put in plastics, for example. So here's a piece of plastic which is about a half an inch thick, and so they basically were able to cut these circles out it with special shapes. Don't even know what it was used for, but this thing can cut and make many size different models. You can build boxes out of it because you can actually glue the plastic together. Now, if you come around the corner here, I can actually show you, for example, here we actually cut some gears. And so these gears were cut out using the laser cutter, and we can actually build gears for various robots and other sorts of things that are very, very strong and very, very durable. It's an incredibly powerful machine that is incredibly easy to use, because if you can draw sort of the 2D outline of what you want, you put in the right thickness of material and it'll just simply cut it out in a beautiful, nice way. A little bit of glue and you can actually, you know, put this together, the gears and even the bearings inside if you look carefully.
What happens after the big problems are solved? What's the next path for these things?
Well, we work really hard with Microsoft's product groups, you know, really across the board, Windows, Office, Xbox, all the product groups, to try to make sure we get sort of this constant flow of sort of state-of-the-art and new technologies into all of them. And it's really a partnership. It's about sort of defining a really good complementary relationship. And what's, we work on sort of solving technology problems that nobody knows how to solve. Our product teams are really super expert at how we solve all the hard problems of making a product that a billion people could use in all their different kind of diversity. And it's a really good, like I said, complementary relationship of how we make that happen together.
Well, thank you for the tour.
Hey, my pleasure.